Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast episode of How We Scaled. This is Jeff Brandeis, and thank you so much for joining. Today, I have a guest by the name of James Johnson, who is founder and owner of Allmark Insurance Services, your safe money people. So, James, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure, James. So tell our listeners a little bit about what your company does at a high level.
Well, the high level would be that you're playing a game. You probably don't know it, but you're playing a game, and it's a two-part game. So what you're doing is you're trying to accumulate as much money as you possibly can so that when you arrive in my world, which is distribution and preservation, you are able to live the lifestyle you've become accustomed to, adjusted for taxes and inflation, and not run out of money over your lifetime. And so basically, I'm a wealth advisor. That's where my expertise lies, and that's what I do. My expertise lies in retirement and estate planning.
So that's great planning. I know we all need to get there at some point in time, and the sooner we can begin to prepare, the better off we're going to be, correct?
I would tell you that the number one mistake that all people make when it comes to their planning is procrastination. It's the number one mistake. You should start at birth. It's when you should start. You should start your exit strategy as you come into the world.
Parents of four, James, to help out with that.
I'm sorry?
I said, isn't that what grandparents hopefully help set up the grandchildren for?
Well, certainly if you were fortunate enough to have grandparents that did that for you, then that is absolutely true. But we're not all that fortunate.
So when you look at your clientele and you look at the what people are doing today, what's the biggest problem that most people are that you solve that they're not doing today? We kind of hit a little bit earlier, but can we dive into a little bit more details, please?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I do is I help people get clarity, balance, and focus. I always ask people, I say, so, hey, Jeff, you know, if you want to go somewhere, what's the first thing you have to know? And the answer is you have to know where you are. And in the thousands and thousands of people I've talked to, from people who have millions and millions of dollars down to people who have no money, I've never, not once, have I met a single person who knew where they were financially, yet most thought they did until I started asking them the questions that were going to be important. And then we show them with very sophisticated software on whether their plan's working and how to get there. And then we figure out how to make it better. And the rule is good, better, best. Never let it rest till good gets better and better gets best.
If I was a potential client for you, James, what would be the, you know, one or two questions that you would ask me off the bat?
All right. Well, that's pretty weird, Jeff. So I would ask, let's play that game for just a second. I would ask you this. By the way, incidentally, everyone is a potential client for me. And I know people think that you know, you have to have this set person that you want as your client, but I believe you help as many people get what they want and you'll get as much as you can possibly use. So I would start by finding out where your education is. And I would ask you, Jeff, what is the highest income taxes have ever been in the United States?
What's the highest I've been income tax?
What is the top marginal tax bracket ever since the inception of income tax, temporary income tax, and the establishment of the IRS in 1913 forward to today? What was the top marginal tax bracket ever?
50%.
94%. And the average since the inception of the temporary income tax and the establishment of the IRS, we're here from the government, we're here to help you, has been 57.8%. And currently we're sitting at 37%. So then I would ask you, Jeff, what is the national debt?
Trillions and billions.
Yeah. Before we go on, let me explain to you what $1 trillion is. So I took $1 trillion and I stacked it here on top of my desk. It would go around the earth twice. Okay. So it's a really big number. We talk about it like it's no big thing.
Right.
A trillion here, a trillion there, no big deal. The answer is that the current national debt is $30 trillion. And the unfunded deficit for Social Security, Medicare, and prescription drugs is $168 trillion. We have a $4 trillion budget, and we spend every single year more than $1 trillion more than we bring in. And this year so far, in the last 365 days, $2.7 trillion more than we've actually brought in. And now if you ran your life like that, you might have a problem. But just knowing those things, Jeff, do you believe that taxes will be lower, higher, or the same in the future?
Are they going to go up?
So, Jeff, do you want to pay them?
Hell no. Of course not.
What's your plan?
Well, it's my plan, tax-free income.
Okay. So that would be how we would start that conversation. And just every single time it's going to be, well, you know, I really don't have a plan. I really haven't thought about that. I didn't really know those numbers. Then it's a question of let's sit down and let's figure out where you're at. Let's figure out whether your plan's working. And is it possible that there's a better way to do it? And by the way, Jeff, if everything you thought to be true turned out to not be true, how soon would you want to know?
The sooner the better.
Yeah. And that goes back to that number one mistake that people make, and that's procrastination. They keep putting it off, kicking it down the road, much like our government does with our national debt.
How true. So, James, what prepared you from the past that got you into doing what you're doing today?
That's another funny question. So, you know, I used to be a manufacturer in the beauty business a long time ago. Right after I got out of the Marine Corps, I started my own business in the beauty business. And people used to ask me that question. And I used to tell them, well, I got really drunk one night. And that's how I got there. But I made a change from that business when I got, the thing is that I was at the top of my field. I was doing really good. I knew where all the bodies were buried. I knew who buried them, but I was bored to death. And I was flying a couple hundred thousand miles a year. And I didn't like life. Okay. I mean, I didn't like my life. And so I spent about 5 years looking for a business that would get me what I needed out of life. And that was more mental challenge. And so at that point, I found this business and I took off on it, and I'm an overachiever. So the question to what prepared me to that, there's so many answers to that. I mean, it would start all the way back to when I left home at 15 and learned how to live on my own at 15. Then I went in the Marine Corps and then I became a computer programmer, and then I ran a business, and all of the things I learned along the way got me to where I am today. Whether I liked them or not, they got me to where I am today.
Sure. That's a culmination of life. Our destiny is based upon what we've built upon.
Yeah. Experience.
For sure. So you're the owner of Allmark Insurance Services. The name of my podcast is How We Scaled. So James, tell us how you grew your business, how you scaled from where you are, you know, even a couple of years ago, BC, before COVID, to where we are today.
That's a great question. And, you know, when COVID happened, they literally lowered the screen and the game was over. I mean, we were done. At that point in time, although we had email marketing and that kind of stuff, to get new clients, everything we were doing up to that point was history. So we were doing what I call meal maggot seminars, where we would actually feed people to come in and listen to us talk and then set up an appointment, and that was gone. So in February of 2000, or somewhere right around there when COVID happened, I literally locked myself in a room in my office for the next 120 days and learned everything there was to know about social media and social marketing and podcast. And I mean, I created an online program. I became a creator on LinkedIn. We're now quickly moving up on the YouTube side of the house. We started doing stuff on Facebook. And just to give you an idea of how much we've progressed over that period of time, just last week on one webinar, We had 180 people signed up, 54 people showed, and about 18 appointments set. Those are dynamic numbers, okay? Yep. But when we tried to do it the first time, it was like we had 20 people sign up, 2 people showed, and no appointment set. So remember, good, better, best, never let it rest. So good gets better, right. Better gets best. We're always trying to improve it. And the way we've been doing that over the last 2 years is through the social media channels.
That sounds awesome. I think that's some great advice for people who are in the world today as they continue to try to grow their businesses. So James, a lot of our listeners are young entrepreneurs, solo, and they're trying to grow the business. From your perspective, you know, where their money's tight. You know, every nickel, every dime, they're trying to reinvest back in the business. When they look at you and they look at your retirement plans, how do you kind of suggest to people to be able to put some money away for the future when they're trying to make ends meet today?
I'd like to give you 2 answers to that, because one, I'd like to give you some advice to them about starting their business and doing all that stuff. So bring me back to that at some point, but let me first answer your first question.
Sure.
It's like there's a law, and Jeff, this law has been kicking your ass your entire life, and it's going to continue to do so for the rest of your life. And it's called the Parkinson's Law. And the Parkinson's law says your expenses will keep up with your income regardless of how much money you make. The more money you make, the more money you spend. Okay. And as you grow up and you get to a higher level, you can't go backwards. It's very difficult to go backwards. You live at that level. So for anybody, regardless of who you are, especially if you're young, by the way, you could go back to my life, and at 8 years old, I had paper routes and I collect pop bottles and I mowed lawns and I shoveled snow, and the list goes on. And I was really good at making money. I've always been really good at making money. But if you would have asked me at age 30 how much money I had in the bank, I would have looked at you and went, dude, money in the bank? What do I need money in the bank for? I'm not even supposed to be alive. Okay. I would have never expected to live to be 35 years old. So the trick here is to always pay yourself first. Always pay yourself first. Before you pay the rent, before you pay the utilities, go and take 10, 20% of whatever it is that you're making and put that away. Now, if you're currently living at home with your parents, as I know many young entrepreneurs do, are you paying rent? And if you're not, you should be. And you should be paying that rent over into a side account. I actually advise parents to charge their kids rent. At 18, you start paying rent. You don't like it, get out. Okay. Now, they don't need to use that money. They can collect that money and accumulate that money. And that may become a down payment for a house, a car, or the business, whatever the case may be. But you have to start by paying yourself first. And you have to do it every single time you get a check.
I've heard that philosophy before, and I think it's a rule even myself I need to abide by, even in my today's environment. So.
Well, Jeff, you know the hardest part about learning anything?
Is making it a habit.
It's getting it, okay? It's actually doing it. And then the next question would be, how many people have to tell you before you listen? So at some point, you have to stand up. Now, I would like to go back, and you started asking that question about what would I tell a young entrepreneur. I would tell them this, is that first off, the best money out there is OPM, other people's money, okay? and second, that no matter what you do inside of your business from a standpoint of advertising or marketing or whatever, you must measure it. Okay. If you don't measure it, and you don't start measuring it after the fact, you literally start measuring it before you do it. And you continue to measure it, because how will you ever know whether it worked or not if you didn't have a measuring stick to it? Remember always to do the math is what it boils down to.
Math is black and white. It basically tells you where you're at the end of the day, and there's no getting around math. So it's either black or white, or equals, or it doesn't equal. So,
well, this is what I tell every client. I say, look, Jeff, you know, here's the reality. Okay. I know it's kind of hard to believe, but people lie.
Can really?
You imagine that? Yeah. No. But here's the interesting part. Mathematics doesn't. So let's do the mathematics. Let's see what the mathematics says. And let's forget about what so-and-so said about all these sensational things. let's talk about the reality.
I couldn't agree with you more. So think about reality, James. So tell us, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that say, hey, put your money here, put your money there, do this, do that with it. What do you think is some of the, I'll term it, outdated advice out there that you hear that kind of makes your skin crawl when you hear it from a prospective client?
So that's interesting. Let's start by doing it this way. Jeff, I'm going to send you out to play in a pro golf tournament tomorrow. Would you like your favorite golfer's swing or their clubs?
Well, the swing.
Exactly. Yet, what do most people, when it comes to their financial planning, focus on?
The clubs.
Exactly right. Okay. And so what I would tell you is that, and where my skin crawls is that, here's another one for you, Jeff, I'm a doctor, and you've never been to my office ever in your life. You've never met me. And as you walk in the door, I hand you a pill and I say, here, Jeff, eat this. Would you eat the pill?
I first asked you, what's the pill for and what's in it?
Don't you think it would be more important that I did some diagnosis as to whether I determine whether you actually need a
pill? Actually need the pill? Yeah, that too.
You a pill?
Yeah.
So my skin crawls on when I see somebody prescribing without diagnosing, all right? And so that goes back to figuring out where you're at and figuring out whether your plan's working or not before you start diagnosing and doing that. Now, I hear things about how people say things that are they're just plain wrong, okay? How you should pay for your house and how this product doesn't work and how that product doesn't work. And, you know, cryptocurrency is a terrible thing and life insurance is terrible. Annuities are terrible. And the list goes on and on and on. And so I my skin crawls on generalized advice. There's nothing general about this game that you're playing. And I can tell you that you and every one of your listeners are unique individuals, have unique wants and places that they are. And until you've actually diagnosed that, you can't really be doing any prescriptions on what pill to take or what club to buy, et cetera.
So with that understanding, I'll give you an opportunity to kind of tell us one of your proudest success stories of a client that you started with and where you took them to today.
Wow. That's a tough one. I have a lot of clients and I have clients on every level. And I think my proudest moments are probably when I see the light bulb go off in their eyes. Okay. When I see that instant of change, when they actually get it. Okay. They actually realize that, wow, I really should be doing that. And, you know, I can't really go, this is my proudest moment, but I'll give you an example. If you came to me back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you would have found that most of my clients were 55 and up, okay? And they once asked Jesse James why he robbed banks. Do you know what he said?
Most of the money was at the banks.
That's where the money is. So he asked me, why do you only deal with people that are 55 or older? And I said, well, that's where the money is. Okay. Right. But and also my biggest problem, okay, not my client's biggest problem. My biggest problem was I totally felt like when I'm talking to a young person, they weren't listening to me. Okay. And I have a couple kids and I understand what happens that when you turn 18, you become the smartest person on earth. And not until you're 31, 32, before you begin to realize that your parents actually might know something. Okay. And you know, it might even take longer than that before you get it. And so I just didn't want to deal with that. Okay. I just didn't. And so I think one of my prouder moments is actually one of my assistants now. Okay. His name is Bryce. Bryce came to a seminar that we were doing, a dinner seminar, and came with his parents. Now, if you came to a dinner seminar with your parents, I was talking to you the whole time. I mean, I would literally focus in on you and say, look, dude, you're to be commended for coming and listening to this boring stuff and being a part of this. But now you got to listen, because you know the hardest part about learning anything is getting it, and your parents aren't getting it. So you need to get it. Okay. And, you know, Bryce came to me a couple of years, actually, he actually became a client. His parents did not. He became a client, and he came to me a couple of years after that and actually asked me to go to work for me, to mentorship underneath me. And that's happened. And it's been that way for a couple of years. So he's one of my prouder moments. He's probably in the background listening over here somewhere, but he was one of my prouder moments.
Well, I think that's a great testimonial. It's also a great way to, with all due respect, to build your legacy with people, is to be able to reach out to them and have them go, hey, if it wasn't for James, I wouldn't be doing this today. And that's something I think when I look at entrepreneurs today and what they want to leave behind, they should make a legacy for themselves that others will see themselves and want to follow in. So that's a great, great, great story. So congratulations for that. And Bryce, I'm glad you had the faith and the trust in you to do what you have done for him. So thank you. That's all good.
Bryce probably still kicking himself, asking himself, what the hell did I do? But
yeah, boy. So when you look at your culture that you bring within the organization, tell me what you are, how you are as a leader, James.
Well, you know, so you have some great questions here. And so in my office, we play as a team. All right. Now, am I the boss? Yeah. Do I write the checks? Yeah. But I get overridden all the time, all right, on a regular basis by these young punk kids that say to me, you know, we need to do this and this and this. And I got to listen, because if I don't listen, then why am I here? Right. And so in our office, it's a game you're playing. I always correlate things to a game. And so let's just pretend we're playing football. I'm not much of a sports person other than play him, but let's play football. The goal is to get the ball across the line.
Yep.
So in our office, if the ball's laying in the middle of the field, we don't care how it got there. Okay. It doesn't make any difference. The question is, did you pick it up and carry it a little farther down the field? Did you move the ball towards the goal? I also tell them, never come to me with a problem. I got enough problems. Come to me with a solution and I'll listen to the problem. Because at that point, otherwise, we're going to keep doing what we're doing until you come up with another way to do it. And then we'll figure it out from there going forward. Now, does it always work that way? No, it doesn't. But the reality is it does a lot. And I really, truly do. When you play as a team, you can't always be in charge.
You know, I think that's a great philosophy. I think it's a great management style. I think it building that teamwork and camaraderie. And I call this, you empower your people. And I think that's really key as, you know, entrepreneurs who are listening to the podcast. If I'm taking this out of context, let me know, James. But I think as entrepreneurs and business owners, empowering your people to bring, you know, ideas, discussions to you and be able to, you know, feed off of yourself and to make decisions is so impactful in today's world that many leaders tend to make all the decisions and don't empower the people.
Well, and be very careful not to micromanage. I mean, like, I don't know about you, but you want to get rid of me, just micromanage me. And
I agree. Done.
All right. Yeah. And so why would you do that to them? And then one of my philosophies is kind of along those lines is that, you know, do something for somebody every single day that, you know, you'll never be rewarded for. Okay. You may never even be thanked for it, because if you can help those people get what they want, you'll get as much as you can possibly use. That philosophy does work. It's called karma in some areas. You know, I know personally that I'm paying for some serious karma as a kid, but I'm trying to make it better going forward.
You know what, James, I think that's great. I think karma is a great way to kind of lead into. I really enjoyed our conversation. I've learned a lot, even on my own. So how can our podcast listeners find you and reach out to you and to learn more about what your services provide?
Well, they can reach out to us in a few different ways. We're on LinkedIn. You can follow me on LinkedIn. You can link up there. You can go to our YouTube page, which is Your Safe Money People. You can go to our website, which is www.yoursafemoneypeople.com, or you could actually drop me an email, which is jj@yoursafemoneypeople.com. That's Y-O-U-R, SAFEMONEYPEOPLE.com. And no, I've never done that before.
I couldn't tell. James, thank you so much for being on my podcast of How We Scaled. It's been a pleasure. I want to thank our listeners again for joining us for another episode. And stay tuned for one that's going to be upcoming very soon. Again, James, thanks for joining. And have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Jeff. Love to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.